This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The latest in the presidential results. Eyes were on Nevada today, which did release an additional vote count about 2 hours ago, but not enough additional votes for the AP to call the state for one candidate or the other. The counts go on, and we are still at this moment without a projected winner. Here's Vice President Joe Biden's campaign manager, Jen O'Malley Dillon, in an update this morning.
I think the story of today is going to be a very positive story for the vice president, but also one where folks are going to need to stay patient and stay calm. The counting is happening. It's going to take time.
Meanwhile, the majority of President Trump's communications today have been through Twitter. Earlier today, he tweeted in all caps, "Stop the count." Joining us now with a more complete update is WBUR's Callum Borchers. Hey there, Callum.
Hey, Tiziana.
Count, you know, things are changing by the minute. What is the latest?
Well, the latest is the count is not stopping, despite the president's wishes. And the reality is he shouldn't want the count to stop because he needs to erase Joe Biden's lead in Nevada and Arizona. The president's counting on making a comeback with some outstanding votes in those states. What he really wants is the count to stop in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina, where he leads, but Biden has been making gains.
All right, so the election was Tuesday, and we knew that there was a good chance we wouldn't have a result Tuesday night. It is Thursday. Why so much uncertainty as of this late, as of 2 days later?
Well, I mean, the short answer is expanded mail-in voting because, you know, typically you have the counting of absentee ballots after election day. That's totally normal, but the volume is often small enough that it won't change the outcome one way or the other. But this year, of course, votes are arriving by mail in huge quantities, and they absolutely can change the outcome. And there's also different rules in different states. I mean, Pennsylvania is a great example, and it's in the spotlight right now. Because of the state law there, they couldn't start counting mailed-in ballots until election day, so they didn't get that head start. And also, they'll keep counting anything that arrives as late as tomorrow, as long as it was postmarked by election day. So sort of by definition, it's going to take a long time to finish the tally in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was struck watching the Nevada press conference earlier this afternoon. At one point, he talked about votes that they have until November 12th to count. So, I mean, that's the very last ballot. But do we have a sense when enough votes will be counted to be able to call the race?
You know, it's looking more and more like the uncertainty could spill into the weekend. And I think that the big twist here, Tiziana, is Arizona, right? Because news outlets that use the Associated Press to make calls, including WBUR and NPR, have already called Arizona for Biden.
Right.
And so has Fox News. In fact, they called it pretty early on election night. And so they give Biden 264 electoral votes. But other outlets have not called Arizona and have Biden down at 253. Now, that's a huge difference once you factor in Nevada, which you just mentioned, right? Nevada's got six electoral votes. If Nevada were to be settled in favor of Biden before there's a consensus on Arizona, we could have a situation where some outlets have declared Biden the overall winner with that magic number of 270, and others say he's still short because they haven't yet given him Arizona.
That's kind of scary. I mean,
it's
a little bit of a nightmare. Yeah. So yesterday we interrogated a bit of what our political divides are nationally, locally, what they mean for our future. I was interested. You dove into how those divides played out in Massachusetts and some reporting you did. So tell me what surprised you this week most here in the Commonwealth.
Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I was struck anyway by how the pandemic may have actually made voters' political bubbles even worse because we've all shrunk our social circles since March and maybe surrounded by people who think like us even more so than usual. So I'm working on a story about this right now, Tiziana, and I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I spoke today with a Trump voter named Dustin Voss. He lives in Templeton, which is one of those red pockets in this deep blue state. And this was his reaction to the result here.
I honestly thought that there was a possibility that Massachusetts could have turned red because of what I physically saw. I mean, in the town of Templeton, which is pretty small, there are Trump flags everywhere.
So think about that. I mean, all the pro-Trump enthusiasm that Voss was seeing on the ground where he lives skewed his sense of reality because, of course, Templeton is not at all representative of the rest of the state. But at the same time, I've also spoken with Biden voters in liberal enclaves who thought that Massachusetts would surely reject Donald Trump even more forcefully than it did 4 years ago. And actually, Trump's support here was almost identical to what it was in 2016.
But Senator Ed Markey, who's quite progressive, grew his margin. He won by 24 points in 2014, 10 points in 2013. This year, he won by 33 percentage points. So what's going on there?
Well, I think surprisingly enough, the primary challenge from Congressman Joe Kennedy actually made Markey stronger. You know, the Kennedy name naturally attracted national attention to the race, and Markey made the most of that spotlight. You know, progressive voters and particularly young climate activists rallied to Markey's defense and helped deliver him a double-digit win over Kennedy in September, and then he carried that momentum into the general election. And I will say, Tiziana, you know, politicians are never more accessible than when they're winning. And so the senator actually called me on election night because he wanted to talk. And I asked him about how this campaign has raised his profile. And this is what he told me.
Well, you know, my goal in introducing the Green New Deal was to elevate climate change, to make it a national issue, to make it a front burner issue. And I think that's what happened when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and I put it out there. And then I ran on that.
So you hear Markey's careful to say that he wanted to elevate the issue of climate change, not himself, but the numbers say that he's much better known and even more popular than ever here.
Yeah, let's talk about the ballot questions, too. Very little changes on that front. One big win, the Right to Repair campaign, which you had covered some for us. It'll expand access to motor vehicle repair data. You know, is this a big deal that it passed? What will it mean, remind us, for Massachusetts auto owners?
You know, I'd call it a medium-sized deal because I think that there was some hyperbole on both sides about how high the stakes were. But what it basically means is that automakers, beginning in the 2022 model year, are going to have to make more mechanical data that they collect wirelessly right now available to drivers. And they're going to do that through a new mobile app. And then with driver's consent, that can also be accessible to independent repair shops through a new database. And so for drivers, that basically will mean that you may get more marketing, more advertising, frankly, from your local mechanic saying, hey, we detect that your brakes are wearing down. You should come in and schedule maintenance.
All right. So the other ballot question was ranked choice voting, which often is associated as being a progressive position. It failed. You wrote for BUR in your election roundup that Massachusetts showed its traditional side on that one. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, what I mean by that is that, you know, Massachusetts is known for its liberalism. And as you say, this issue is billed as a progressive reform. And it did prove popular in those deep blue pockets like Cambridge and Amherst. But in lighter blue places like Worcester and Springfield, voters were just not ready to change the way they've been casting ballots all their lives. Why is that? I mean, I think the system can be kind of confusing. I mean, a really stark example is the Yes campaign couldn't even convince Fall River, of all places, where they had that very messy mayoral race last year where Jaisal Correa, under indictment, was recalled and then reelected the same day because the vote was split among five different candidates. In a ranked choice ballot, the people who wanted to recall him could have ranked him last and perhaps he would have lost.
All right, let's go back to the presidential election to wrap up here. Still a lot of unknowns. What are you watching for today, tomorrow?
You know, I think the big thing is Pennsylvania. I'm really watching how that gap is narrowing, and count me among those who thought with the president's large lead on election night that it was just going to be too big of a canyon for Biden to close. And yet he continues to make up ground. So that's where I'm watching. I thought that maybe Nevada would give us a conclusion before Pennsylvania mattered. But now I've got my eyes back on the Keystone State.
WBUR's Callum Borchers. Thanks, Callum. I appreciate it.
Great to be with you.